the Lonely Island, and you're visiting showbizmuggins.com. How did you first get your start in comedy?
How did I first get my start in comedy? I was in high school in Kelowna, and my brother sent me a bootleg tape of Sam Kinison. And after I heard it, I decided I wanted to do comedy, so I used to drive down to Vancouver to Punchlines, the club that doesn't exist anymore. I'd do amateur night. And after about 2 years of that, I started getting asked to do paid stuff, and just focused on that.
How would you describe your style of comedy?
Self-referential. That's a tough one. How would you describe my style of comedy, honey? Really? I tell stories? Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I tell stories. What else do I do? Anything? I talk about myself a lot. Myopic, narcissistic, self-referential. No? None of those things. Okay. Self-celebratory. You like the word self. You have a lot of stuff about me. Oh yeah, and I do have a lot of strong opinions on how to change me for the better.
Would you prefer doing longer sets or shorter sets, or?
I like middle sets. I like 20 minutes. Yeah, that's what I mainly do in the UK, is around 20-25 minutes. I enjoy a longer set. If I'm doing a themed show. Like if it's at the Edinburgh Festival or something like that, where I've written a specific theme idea.
Right.
But in clubs, my dream set is 20, 25 minutes, something like that. Actually, that's not true. Sometimes in Canadian clubs, anywhere 20 to 45 actually is my favorite. The short sets throw me for a loop. Like when I do 7 minutes, I'm like, oh man, they don't even get to know me. I do like the longer sets because I want the crowd to get to kind of know my nuances, because once they sort of pick up all the nuances come the end of the show, you don't have to do very much to get them to understand your sense of humor.
Yeah, because preparing, I watched a couple things that were 7 minutes, and then on YouTube, some of them were 12 minutes. And by 7 minutes, I find it's just getting going.
Yeah.
There's one and a half stories in there, and then...
It's probably why I haven't done as much American television as I would have liked to, is because I am a longer set comic. Luckily in England, their TV sets are much longer over there, so I've gotten to do a lot of those. But they want to keep you down to 4 minutes and 5 minutes when you do American TV. I'm like, dude, I can't even get through two jokes in that amount of time.
Now, you mentioned you've done American TV and UK TV. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference in preparing?
Oh, very much so. American TV is joke-based, joke-per-minute-based. You have to be fast, and you have to be completely unoffensive, which takes all the fun out of comedy, in my opinion. Like, if comedy's not somewhat offensive or provocative, I don't know what the point of it is. Whereas in England, they celebrate that.
You mentioned that you have to be completely unoffensive. Did you run into problems with, say, the network standards department?
Well, not network standards so much. It's just the general... The concept of clean comedy, I find offensive on a lot of levels, because clean is a subjective term. I mean, when people say clean comedy, some people mean no swearing, and some people mean no challenging ideas can mean clean. You know, it's such a prescribed notion. I don't like that very much. I like the idea of, self-edit. You know, if you don't like something, get up and walk out. Turn the channel. It shouldn't be, you should have to hear ideas you're not comfortable with. That's kind of what living in a free society is all about. And that's the funniest and best comedy, is the one where you're challenged, your bedrock ideas of what you believe in are actually challenged funnily to the point where you actually have to kind of slightly defend yourself in your own mind. That's wonderful.
In reading your bio online, you've spent a lot of time in both North America and overseas. Is your act different in the different countries?
I tweak little things. Like, of course, when it's a noun, I'll have to tweak it. But thematically, I don't have to change anything, generally. I mean, there's certain topics that have a little bit more sting in certain places. Like, I can't do as much religious material in the U.S. Well, actually, I can now, but I mean, for years I could. There was a real, if you ever talked about religion in the U.S., you get a real sort of shut down audience. and I mean that in the fact that I don't believe in religion. perspective, I should just say an atheistic perspective. But now those walls have actually come down. But in England, they've been down for a long time. And in Canada, actually, they've been down for a little bit longer.
Have you noticed comedy changing over the years since you started
I mean, when I first started, it was all Seinfeld-esque, you know, sport coats and jeans and white runner-looking guys all doing observational comedy, you know, and then the alternative revolution took place, and that sort of gave me a foothold, because I didn't know I was alternative until it happened. Hey, look, I'm alternative. So that gave sort of a more personal, that's where authenticity became more important. And authenticity became sort of the mainstay of like motivational, powerful comedy, in my opinion. And that's still here, the authenticity, but there's more of a creative element sort of coming in right now, a multimedia element that I kind of like. And people are taking bigger chances, making it more theatrical, which I really enjoy. So it's constantly evolving, but I think it's evolving for the better, to the most part. The only thing I don't like is, you know, overly fame-based comedic, you know, where people just go see somebody because they recognize them. Crap. It's just sad.
Now, obviously, I write for an internet website. How important do you think the internet is in getting out the word about stand-up comics through, like, social networking?
I think it's pretty important. It's, I've been trying to come to terms with it on my own career, because it requires quite a bit of legwork to maintain social networking. I do the Facebook and the Twittering. I don't like Twitter at all. I find it incredibly interrupting of my daily schedule, but I like Facebook because you can do longer postings that are more elaborate, you know. 144 characters, I don't find enough for my general type of funny. I find it actually perfect for being pithy. Not so much for being funny. But keeping in contact with fans, I love Facebook for that. I think a lot of the video websites are fantastic in getting your material out to foreign places. I really think it's interesting when I look at where my fans come from on my Facebook breakdown profile page, and I'll see people from Northern Europe, and you know, you'll find the odd one from Africa, and you're like, oh, cool, you know, and that's because your videos have gotten global, you know, and you just see like all these countries around the world, which you'd never have access to before social networking and the internet. That's kind of an exciting concept. But it has to be married with other media. I mean, I think you have to marry it with television and radio and live performance to really sort of take full advantage of it. I don't know if that needs to be said, actually. I just uttered something utterly redundant. I'm a pre-coffee man.
Well, that's what Twitter is about. Like, Roman had a Coke Zero.
Yeah. I do like some people do Twitter really well, but I generally follow most of my comics, their fan pages on Facebook. The ones that interact, I don't like the ones that have somebody proxy do them, you know?
Yeah.
But the ones that run their own fan page, like Arch Barker, or, they're on there all the time, they're always posting something funny and clips and stuff. I just enjoy that experience a lot more. But social networking, I think, has a one more step of evolution, you know, to take place before it's, one of the companies just has to sort of overtake the whole thing. It's going to be Facebook, to be honest with you. I think there's going to be a one step evolution in their design and their delivery, you know, that makes it more efficient, more effective.
Well, they're already sort of doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already taking over everything.
I know. I mean, I think about it now with my own searching, like when I'm thinking about restaurants. I used to Google what restaurant to go to, and now I just go on Facebook and I go, hey, what do people recommend for this? And I get better answers from that, from asking my friends questions. I think that is sort of the way we're going. And of course, that can create just a collectivity of stupidity. Just wait till racism grabs hold of it.
Now, there are a lot of shows to choose from at the Winnipeg Comedy Festival. Why should people choose to go to one with you involved?
I would hope the price was cheaper. I don't know the actual. I can't tell you, to be honest with you, why you should see me over any other comic. I've never been good at self promotion. In fact, I've always thought it causes cancer. But my wife says I'm good looking. I don't know if that's true or not, but you can sell that. No, I'm funny. I'm a unique comic. I make people. I'll make you think a little bit. That's always fun. I mean, unless you hate thinking, then maybe I'm not the guy.
Now, what do you have planned for the future, like other places people might catch you? Because not all of our readers would be in Winnipeg. I mean, I'm obviously in Vancouver.
Well, it's too bad. I was in Vancouver this weekend just taping trips with the Debaters, so they can catch me on CBC this fall. Then right after Winnipeg, I'm back in England for 2 weeks. Then I'm off to the New Zealand Comedy Festival for a month. Then they can catch me in Mumbai, India the week after that for a week. And then in the Middle East for a week after that, and then back in London, and then in Amsterdam.
So they should just check out your Facebook.
Facebook.com/comicpete.
Showbizmonkeys.com.